Welcome to America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. In the last week, we've heard a lot about the story of the IRS through its office in Cincinnati, allegedly targeting conservative and Tea Party groups, looking into whether they qualify for tax-exempt status, and questions about whether the IRS has been used as a political organ of the White House. Last Wednesday, Stephen Miller, who is the deputy commissioner of the IRS, who is filling in as acting commissioner until they find a new permanent person for that role, he was told to resign by Treasury Secretary Jack Lew. And then on Friday, his replacement was named as acting IRS commissioner, again, not permanent, a guy by the name of Daniel Werfel. But on Friday, Stephen Miller, who was still in the position, even though he had resigned, he was going to hold on to it for a little while longer, he was grilled mercilessly on Capitol Hill, and a lot of right-wing members of the House went after him big time. But one of the questions that I have not seen asked or answered thus far is why any political action group is getting a tax break from the government. So let's ask Sheila Krumholtz. She's the executive director of the Center for Responsive Politics and joins me now here on America Weekend. Hi, Sheila. How are you?
Hi, good morning.
Explain to me how anybody who's doing any kind of political activity is allowed to get a tax break. These are not charities.
That's true. And even charities are allowed a very small bit of lobbying, say, to encourage the public to support a bill, not to do the kind of direct advocacy that these social welfare organizations are now allowed to do, especially post-Citizens United, the Supreme Court decision that allows them to spend money to help elect or defeat federal candidates. So there's been a kind of sea change in what these organizations can now do.
Now, you just used the phrase social welfare. Well, what are these groups doing for the social welfare of the United States of America?
Well, many C3, that is charitable organizations, like the American Red Cross or Lung Association, have these 501c4 kind of sister organizations that can take a kind of harder edge and try to be a little bit more involved in politics. Again, historically, they have not supported or opposed candidates as much as they are now doing. The idea is that it is kind of a complement to the charitable function to then not just educate people, but also to try to effect change. Many foundations that support these groups are looking for impact. And so that's a lot of the pressure that these organizations are feeling to kind of not just educate people, but also to, move the ball forward on whatever the issue they have. But now we have a situation where these organizations are growing in number at the same time that they're really pushing the envelope in terms of what they can do politically. And it does, I think, fly in the face of common sense that they would have the ability to have a be tax exempt when they are taking on such an electoral or electioneering role.
So is there any kind of litmus test the IRS uses, or maybe I should say should use, to go after these groups or at least investigate whether they're doing things for the, quote, social welfare or whether they're just promoting a cause, a political cause?
Yeah, historically they have not been very forthright about what their criteria is for determining whether these groups are allowed to be 501c4 social welfare groups and to receive that tax-exempt status, in part because they don't want to give people kind of the secret sauce so that they can avoid so that they can say all the right things in order to get that status, but then, go off and do something much more political. And that is what's happening. Right now, all people know, all the lawyers that are maybe advising these groups are saying is we don't know what the facts and circumstances are that the IRS is looking for when they're examining your groups. Just stay under the 50% mark in terms of your political expenditures. But that's a heck of a lot of spending. And in terms of our last election cycle, we saw that these organizations were spending hundreds of millions of dollars on political activity. And I think most Americans would view that from a very kind of common sense standpoint as not being social welfare group, but trying to have their cake and eat it too. Political organizations that are masquerading as tax-exempt group. So I think Congress now, because the IRS has effectively been neutered by the scandal, Congress really needs to sit down, talk this through, debate what the level should be. You know, the law was originally written to exclude political activity, and the IRS interpreted it to be that it just can't be your primary function as a social welfare organization. I think we need to get closer back to what the original intent of the law was.
Yeah, but considering that, and I saw this in a chart on your website, that in 2006, $17 million was spent by nonprofit groups. And in 2012, $300 million was spent by these nonprofit groups, mostly by these, quote, social welfare 501c4s that you're talking about. Considering how much of that money is being spent on the very politicians who are now occupying those seats in Congress and in the White House, what are the chances that those politicians are going to change the rules so that they don't get that money?
Yeah, it's it is a challenge. Some of them, you know, I think we have, this might be a controversial statement, but I think we have to both give our representatives the benefit of the doubt and also help them kind of stiffen their backbone to make sure that they are representing what we want and to hold them accountable to do the right thing. They may or may not be benefiting from these organizations spending $300 million on politics. They might be the targets of it. And either way, there is always the potential that groups can swoop in, drop tons of money, and change the outcome or the dialogue around an election. And I think the politicians don't really enjoy raising money, but they now feel that they have to be constantly on the fundraising hamster wheel to protect themselves from that possibility. So big money is reshaping politics as it perhaps as it never has before. We've just passed a $6.3 billion election cycle. Money is really... you know, it's always been a critical element, but proportionally far more so now.
But so, the important thing for the taxpayers of America to realize is when we say that these groups are getting a tax break, that means that we are subsidizing them. So, you know,
we are, but they're not tax deductible. So a donation to a 501c3, a charitable organization, is tax deductible, but not so to these 501c4 social welfare groups.
But when they can write off their expenses or whatever it is that they're doing to get this tax break, that means that we're subsidizing it in a country where, by the way, most people don't want us to go, or at least claim that they don't want us to go to public financing, and a Supreme Court that won't allow us to go in that direction, because after Citizens United, that's what opened the floodgates and all of this money flowed in. It's just a rigged system.
I think many people are afraid that it is now a rigged system, and there is, I think, a popular notion that we should remove the tax breaks for groups that are political. And what that threshold should be, whether it's any political activity or 15% or 25%, you know, that's a discussion our country and certainly our political representatives have to have. But 50%, when groups are spending tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars on politics, does seem to be counterintuitive to their social welfare, purported social welfare function.
What does this do to the credibility of the IRS going forward?
Oh, it's just enormously damaged. They way overstepped their bounds. Clearly, they were not managing this well. There was incompetence, and tone deafness, and that is the charitable view of this. I mean, there is also the concern that this was really politically motivated. So there has always been, you know, I think this is one of those agencies that is least popular on a good day, and I think this is incredibly damaging and now politicizes their work going forward as Congress investigates.
Because we do not want the IRS to be used against, quote, political enemies, unquote, the way it was in the Nixon era.
Absolutely. And so there are people who are alleging that this is as bad or worse. I don't think it's reached that level, but it's always something that we have to be on guard for and have zero tolerance for.
And I think people on the left are saying, well, you know what, we have to watch out to make sure that doesn't happen to us as well.
You know, it can, precisely, if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. So this cannot be allowed to happen to anyone. And it's true that there were a lot of Tea Party groups that were the target of this investigation. But they are the small organizations, increasing in number, but not very powerful. But what about all these powerful organizations that are really behind the spending in the election? I mean,
Absolutely right. The bad news is it's not good for the goose. It's not good for the gander. And even worse, it's not good for the country. Sheila, thanks for joining me today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Sheila Krumholz, Executive Director of the Center for Responsive Politics. OpenSecrets.org is their website. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.
America Weekend.